Thank you very much, Mr. Henderson. Good morning to all of you. Well, most Sabbath mornings, my wife sits down with the kids for a Bible lesson. She didn't today, because we're here. Sometimes she reads a section from the old Bible story books. And many times she uses a lesson from the youth instruction manual that Kagwa has put together called Encourage, Equip, and Inspire, or EEI. How many of you are familiar with that manual? And how many of you have ever read through any of the lessons in that manual? So I'll talk to this side. Now, the EEI manual isn't like the old YES lessons from the Worldwide Church of God days, which, by the way, the church's obsession with the three-letter acronyms does go back decades. But those lessons were written for the children. When I was a kid, I would have to go through my YES lessons, and then we would go through the lessons with our class after services on whatever the regular interval was. I assume it was once a month, but I don't really remember. Now, not that my parents never reviewed the lessons with me, but they were written so that a child could go through them on his or her own, kind of like doing your homework for school. But the EEI manual is different. This manual is written for the parents. It's a guidebook for parents to teach their children. Last week, as we began the month of November, my wife chose to begin the lesson titled Gratitude. And that lesson begins with, thank you. We often speak these two words of gratefulness without much thought, whether casually interacting with a cashier or graciously accepting a compliment. It is easy to respond with a polite thank you out of habit of common courtesy. While there is certainly nothing wrong with outwardly exhibiting good manners, godly gratitude arises from a habit deeply embedded within the heart. Saturating one's whole life, gratitude is a God-honoring habit, deliberately learned and consciously practiced. Gratitude is among the most necessary and fundamental qualities of all faithful followers of Christ. When we equip our little ones with attitudes of appreciation and contentment, we persuade their hearts to evaluate life with a steady, balanced perspective. Therefore, we parents must embrace each and every opportunity to teach and nurture the attitude of humble gratitude within our children's hearts. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18 and verses 1 through 4. We've all heard messages on gratitude and thankfulness, especially around the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States. And you're going to hear another one. But I think there's something beneficial in the perspective from the EEI lesson, as it aims at teaching children about gratitude, especially for us cranky old adults. Matthew 18 and verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." If we ever think we are above receiving instructions like a child or learning from a child's lesson, we've got a problem. So today, let's look at gratitude as little children. Full disclosure, I'm not going to go through the entire EEI lesson on gratitude in this sermon. And I'm going to deviate a bit from what's in the manual, so if you decide to fact check me, just know it's going to be a little different. Please turn to Colossians 3 in verses 15 through 17. The first section of the lesson is called Gratitude Defined. Like all godly attributes, the quality of gratitude grows and flourishes through patient and consistent shepherding. A reliable definition of the godly trait of gratitude is showing appreciation by choosing attitudes and actions of thankfulness in all circumstances. Colossians 3 and verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Notice it doesn't say thank you, though we'll get to that. But this verse says, be thankful. Choose gratitude. Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Godly parents teach their children to say thank you when they're given something. But you know what? Instructing your kids to say thank you isn't a one-time thing. They need repeated instruction. Children need consistent shepherding, as it says, until saying thank you becomes an automatic thing. And we, first and foremost, need to thank our Father regularly for all that he gives us. Turn to Numbers chapter 11 and verses 4 through 6. From the EEI manual, it is important to realize that gratefulness is not a natural response to our blessings and circumstances. Numbers 11 and verse 4. "Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes.' After Israel left Egypt, they complained that they had no food, so God gave them bread from heaven. He gave them free food. They didn't have to plow and plant. They got up in the morning, and the manna was just there. God gave them this miraculous food every day, except on the Sabbath, which was another miracle. But every day they had this food that never existed before and has never existed since. But was Israel thankful? Free food from God didn't produce thankfulness. Gratefulness is not a natural response to our blessings and circumstances. Let's go to Romans chapter 11 and verses 13 through 22. I think we're all familiar with the Israelites' constant murmuring in the wilderness. But lest we think that ungratefulness is a condition that is confined to the carnal or the unconverted, Paul was writing to the church in Rome. And it seems that at least some of them may have been getting a little bit too big in their own eyes. And Paul explained that Israel had been cut off from God because they rejected him. And God brought in the Gentiles in their place. Romans 11 and verse 13. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Had these converted Christians forgotten how fortunate they were to be grafted into the tree? Had they become ungrateful for their calling into the body of Christ? Verse 19. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. It's true, Paul says. Israel was removed from the tree and you were put in its place. Because of unbelief, they were broken off and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. We, regardless of our ethnic heritage, have been called into the church, into the body of Christ. We too have been grafted, have been given the gift of being grafted into the tree. And we too, like the Christians in Rome, can become ungrateful for that gift. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 5. Back to the EEI manual, it says, it is important to realize that gratefulness is not a natural response to our blessings and circumstances. We read that already, but it goes on. It is an acquired response, a response that God fully expects us to learn and demonstrate. Shepherding your child's heart to reflect Christ-like gratitude will require a tremendous investment of your time and love. And there is no substitute for either. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. For 40 years, God shepherded Israel through the wilderness. He gave them bread from heaven. He brought them meat from nowhere. He brought water from rocks. He gave them miraculous gifts. And when they were ungrateful, he punished them. Not to be cruel, but to teach them, like parents teach their children. And our Father in heaven does the same for us. He gives us blessings, and sometimes he takes blessings away. God is investing a tremendous amount of his time and his love in us as a father to build our character. And for that, we should be very grateful. Turn to Psalm 40 and verse 5. The next section of the lesson is called Shifting the Focus. It says, much like stepping stones, nurturing your children's or our understanding of gratitude will progress with each carefully planned step forward. Beginning at a young age, our children need to be guided in moving away from focusing on their own feelings and desires and toward focusing on God's gifts and deeds of goodness. Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. If we catch ourselves being ungrateful, if we find ourselves in a state of mind of why me or woe is me, which can happen to any of us at times, then we should take a step back. Take some time to think about what God has done for you. And don't just list the big blessings. Remember the little ones too. Our families, our homes, God's calling, those are big things for which we should be very thankful. But what about some little things? When's the last time you had dessert? Dessert is a little thing. It's not a necessity. It's a treat. That's one of the reasons I'm opposed to making desserts healthy. No one needs dessert. Dessert is a luxury. Its only job is to taste good. If you want something healthy, eat more salad. But keep your black beans and your avocados out of my brownies. Sorry, I'm a little off track there. But make a list. You may want to write it down, because seeing God's gifts listed on paper may help them shift your focus. Turn to James chapter 1 and verse 17. Most of us have at least heard of the song, Count Your Blessings. And whether you like the song or not, it has a good point. Because when you're feeling ungrateful, counting your blessings forces you to at least acknowledge that we have a lot to be thankful for. James 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. All the good gifts in your life, where did they come from? They come from God. But it's not just that. Let's jump back to start reading in verse 13. Verse 17 is a good point all on its own, but this verse isn't an independent thought. James 1 and verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It's not just that God gives all the good gifts. It's that God only gives good gifts. If you ask God for something that's going to be bad for you, he's not going to give it. When we fall for those temptations, those bad gifts, it's because we decided to go get them. Following our own will instead of God's. The lesson continues. By promoting your children's awareness of God's daily benefits, you lay the foundation for increasing their trust in God's unfailing love. With abiding respect for the Most High's generous hand permeating your home during your children's tender years, they will come to understand and appreciate the source of all blessings. Turn to Philippians 2 in verses 1 through 5. It goes on, together with our children's growing appreciation for God's goodness, he or she should also acquire appreciation for the kindness of others, since human beings are inherently self-centered. And if you need proof of that, just spend an afternoon with a 2-year-old. It is essential to actively guide our children to look outside themselves. While a sweet thank you begins the process of expressing gratefulness for young children, as they mature, the level of acknowledgement should deepen. Philippians 2 and verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. There is no room for selfishness in a child of God. Christianity is not a self-centered religion. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Not the same as you, not equal, better. There is no place to look down on other Christians. Verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to tell what Jesus Christ did with that mind. The Word went from being God to being a bondservant, a slave. He esteemed the entirety of humanity above himself. And he allowed himself to be beaten and murdered for the interests of us and every human being on the face of the earth. These verses are not instructing us to be grateful for this mind that led Jesus Christ to make his sacrifice, though we should be grateful. These verses are instructing that this mind is the example that we follow. It is with this unselfish mind that we can be truly grateful. Appreciation engages the heart, the lesson continues. It can only be gained when one genuinely values the selfless effort expended by another. Proper gratitude requires consideration of the giver. Appreciation allows your children to express sincere gratitude, even for a gift that they may not be thrilled about receiving, because they value the thoughtfulness and kindness of the giver. Showing appreciation toward others springs from respecting the effort involved in another's act of kindness. Turn to James chapter 1 and verse 2, or verses 2 through 4. Now, once when I was a kid, my grandmother gave me a gift. She gave me more than one. This was one occasion. The gift came wrapped in a big box, and I was sure it was a really cool toy. And when I opened it, I found a sleeping bag inside. And when I saw that sleeping bag, my lack of appreciation was obvious. So much so that after we got home from my grandparents' house that night, or maybe the next day, my parents made me call my grandmother and apologize for my ingratitude. You see, it wasn't that my grandmother was walking through the store and saw this beautiful sleeping bag and on the shelf and thought, wow, Matt would love this sleeping bag. My grandmother gave me a sleeping bag because I needed a sleeping bag. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The gifts that we receive from our Father in heaven aren't always wonderful treats. They aren't always really cool toys, but they are always good gifts. And they are only good gifts. Trials are not the gifts that we want, but sometimes they are the gifts that we need. Sometimes we may be given trials so that we learn some specific lessons. But sometimes a trial may not have any specific lesson or lessons. A trial may just be given to us to build character. Its purpose is to make us stronger, to make us perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I wanted a toy, but I didn't need a toy. What I needed was a sleeping bag. And that sleeping bag lasted me a lot longer than any toy would have. And you know what else? to this day. When I see ingratitude for a gift, whether it is my own or someone else's, I am reminded of that sleeping bag. I am reminded of my grandmother, and I am reminded of how ungrateful I was for the gift that I needed. And that lesson has lasted me even longer than the sleeping bag. Going back to the EEI lesson. Remember, it says, that we cannot force our children to be grateful. No matter how many times we compel them to express thankfulness, they of their own free will must ultimately choose their own attitudes. Gratitude is an attitude of choice. It was a choice that Israel didn't make in the wilderness. And it's a choice that we must make to change our minds into the mind of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. Since your children's attitudes directly influence their perspectives, it is imperative that you prudently and thoughtfully shepherd their thinking toward attitudes and actions of thankfulness. Cultivating positive thoughts and attitudes about simple pleasures and ordinary events trains your child to be careful or to be cheerful in the moment and grateful for the gift of life. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Don't let the cares of this life distract us from what and from who is most important. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pray to God. Talk to your Father about what's pulling your focus away from where it should be, and thank Him for the help He's given you already. And God will guard your mind. And then we have this list that tells us where we need to focus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Cultivating positive thoughts and attitudes about simple pleasures and ordinary events will change the way you think, and it will change the choices you make. Gratitude is not just saying the words, thank you, because that's what we've been trained to do. Gratitude must come from inside. Choose to set your mind on the things that matter, on the things that have value beyond the cares of this life. Go to God for help with thanksgiving, and it will shift your focus. The next section is called Gratitude During Trials. We touched on this a bit already, but recognizing that a trial may be a gift isn't necessarily enough to keep us grateful when we're in the middle of it. We're already in Philippians chapter 4, but now we'll look at verses 10 through 13. It says in the manual, godly gratitude rightly belongs in all circumstances. True thankfulness does not fluctuate based on one's circumstances or possessions. Philippians 4 and verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Paul was grateful for the care of the Philippians before they ever gave him anything. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul had to learn to be content with having a little, and so do we. And Paul learned to be content with a lot, and so do we. It seems like it should be easy to be content when you have more than enough. But there's always something you don't have. There's always more stuff. Jesus Christ said, "It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." Thankfulness has to be learned in whatever state we are. Gratitude is not about the stuff you have around you. Gratitude is about the stuff you have inside you. Let's go to Psalm 23 in verses 1 through 6. Continuing in the manual, it says, "True thankfulness does not fluctuate based on emotions. True thankfulness steadily flows from a heart that appreciates God's continual goodness." Psalm 23 and verse 1, a psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. As long as God is with me, I'll always have enough. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. When I'm peaceful and calm, I'm thankful that God is with me. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When there's trouble and when I'm scared, I'm thankful that God is with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God called David a man after my own heart. He was a man with the mind of Jesus Christ. And if we develop that mind, our circumstances will not determine our gratefulness. Please turn to Psalm 100 and all the verses. Don't worry, there's only five of them. Back to the lesson. When difficult and disappointing times arise, it will require effort and wisdom to guide your child's understanding and attitudes. Do not allow your child to surrender to self-pity. Do not allow yourself to surrender to self-pity. Your child needs to promote a habit of gratitude, regardless of the situation. Helping your child focus on the steadfast love of God is the perfect place to start. Psalm 100 and verse 1, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. Your life is not a cosmic accident, as many of the intellectual elites would like you to believe. They believe that you are foolish, that we are foolish because we believe our lives have a greater purpose. And in their pride, they fail to see the ridiculousness that their hopeless view of life is superior to the understanding God, that God made you, and you matter to him. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture, and to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless him and bless his name. For the Lord is God, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. God has a plan. No matter what goes on around you, he's in control. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. The manual continues. Take time to reflect on previous challenges, recalling the lessons and gifts God provided through those adversities. I live in a nice house, and I drive a nice car. It's not the biggest house, and it's not the nicest car in my neighborhood, but they are nice. But not that many years ago, I was dealing with the fallout of a serious health condition. I was working a low-paying, dead-end job. I had a mountain of student loans. And month after month, I wondered, is this going to be the month that I'm going to have to decide which bills I will pay and which ones I won't? It seemed like every time I got ahead a little bit, every time I got a little money, something would go wrong. A part of my car would break, and that little bit of money was gone. I remember when things finally started to turn for the better, I was hanging out with a friend, and it hit me. And I told him, I have $80 in my wallet. And it's been a long time since I had that much cash and didn't run to the bank to deposit it so that I could pay my bills. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It wasn't fun, and it wasn't easy to be positive. But when I got to the other side of that particular trial, and when I got a little distance from it, I began to look at my circumstances differently. All those times that I wondered, is this the month when I'll have to decide which bills I'm not going to pay? I always had enough to pay my bills. Those times when I finally got ahead just a little bit, and then a car repair gobbled up that money, I realized that every time I needed a car repair, I had the money to pay for it. Was God not with me? Was God not helping me? Or was God making sure that I could get my car fixed? Was God keeping me afloat while I built the character that he knew I needed? Turn to 1 Peter 1 and verses 3 through 7. Gratitude, the manual says, should encompass every experience within daily life. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, which is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We don't go through trials because God doesn't care. We go through trials because God does care. The last section from the EEI lesson on gratitude that we'll look at today is titled, The Sin of Ingratitude. The scriptures are full of abounding goodness and tender mercies of our loving Father and Savior. Prayers of thanksgiving, psalms, and praises and attitudes of gratefulness are recorded for our encouragement and instruction. The account of the 10 lepers in Luke's gospel illustrate how one's attitude directly influences one's actions, revealing the heart. In Luke 17, we read of a group of men with leprosy, 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan, loudly crying out to Jesus Christ for his merciful healing. Without a doubt, this group of lepers had heard of the extraordinary healings and miracles worked through Jesus Christ, and they were hopeful to have their burden of separation removed. Lepers were outcasts from society. Upon hearing and seeing their children, Christ compassionately instructed them to present themselves to the priest to be examined and pronounced clean of the impure disease before returning to their families. On the way, all the men were completely healed of their isolating affliction. This, by the way, is in Luke 17 and verses 11 through 19. Knowing that he had received a miraculous healing, the Samaritan immediately returned, throwing himself at the feet of Jesus Christ. Although the Samaritan may not have realized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he did understand that he was a faithful servant of God. He glorified God by humbly offering praise and thanksgiving at the feet of Jesus Christ. As the account continues, Jesus Christ asks several convicting questions. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Turn to Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 through 22. It was not for Jesus' benefit that the other 9 returned to offer gratitude. It was for their personal benefit. When we express our thanksgiving to God, we affirm our absolute dependence upon him. Acknowledging our appreciation for his blessings, we draw closer to the giver of all good gifts. We must never value the gift more than the giver. Gratitude should become an increasing, defining mark of our character. The sin of ingratitude causes calluses to grow upon our hearts, hardening our hearts to God's presence and benefits within our daily lives. Romans 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The form may be different than it was 2,000 years ago, which was different than it was 2,000 years before that. The names of the characters may have changed, but the story has stayed the same. The presence of God should be obvious if you just take an objective look at the world and at the universe. But ingratitude toward God causes calluses to grow upon our hearts, hardening our hearts to God's presence and benefits within our daily lives. The manual goes on. The account of the 10 lepers exposes the sorrowful reality of personal ingratitude to God. Have we ever called out for help, gone forward in faith, received God's uplifting help, only to go happily on our way, ignorant of our ingratitude? This passage of Scripture also illustrates that a grateful heart is discerning and grateful. A grateful heart is humble, and a grateful heart is rare. Please turn to Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9, for one final passage. The EEI manual instructs the parents: discuss the importance of offering praise and thanksgiving to God for his rich blessings and goodness. Teach your children how to offer prayers of thanksgiving by reading psalms of gratitude while praying with them. Make a deliberate effort to return to God in prayer, praising him for his mercies and prolific blessings. Psalm 8 and verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have obtained strength, or ordained strength, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We are specks of dust in this vast universe in which we live. We are a vapor. But God has given us a special place in his creation. He has a special plan for us. He is preparing for preparing a place for us that not even the angels will occupy. Who are we that God is mindful of us? How grateful are we that God visits us? Let's finish with the final instructions from the EEI manual from this lesson on gratitude. Keeping a careful watch on your son's or daughter's attitude is essential. Keeping a careful watch on our own attitude is essential. Do not allow him or her, do not allow yourself to coddle a self-centered attitude. Forbid pouting, moping, moodiness. As mentioned earlier, shepherding our child's heart to reflect Christ-like gratitude will require a tremendous investment of our time and love. There is no substitute for either. We absolutely must do the work. A self-absorbed child becomes a self-absorbed adult. Selfishness is not outgrown. It must be overcome. But the rewards of cultivating gratitude within our children and within ourselves far exceed the effort it requires. A heart of gratefulness cannot be achieved overnight. With each child maturing at his or her own pace, it is an acquired attribute that gradually increases through your patient teaching and consistent modeling. More than a rote thank you, your child and we, the children of God, need to discover and understand that genuine gratitude produces joy and contentment in all situations. Although the process of nurturing a grateful attitude within your child requires an attentive and firm commitment now, the benefits will last for eternity. With God's mercy and insight, you can succeed in shepherding your child to choose gratitude.